Hey everyone, so recently I had an episode where I talk about how my wife and I bought and then renovated a home, and we created a budget template to track costs and hopefully limit our spending and stick to the plan as much as possible. So with that, I put out a budget template that you can go and get, and that was our most downloaded freebie from the Career Yak show thus far. So I'll put a link again in the show notes. Go check that out if you have any type of projects, or you're renovating a house, or you're doing even a smaller project and you have to see what it's going to cost and track costs throughout so that hopefully you don't overspend. Go check that out. Super helpful. Just wanted to remind everyone of that. And thanks for listening. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at awareness, I look at it from three different triangles in tapestry. For us, the main focus has been grassroots awareness. The reality is people have to try the table. It's one thing seeing it on social media, and typically when you see it on social, which is what we've used to compound our reach globally, a lot of people are captivated by it. But when you go out and you actually try it at a grassroots perspective, that's how we kind of create our awareness.
Hello and welcome to the Career Yak podcast, a show where we seek to learn what jobs and industries are out there today and learn valuable career lessons along the way. I'm your host, Chris Goodwillie, and on today's show I have AJ Nwosu. AJ is the CEO of Techball USA, and Techball is a new and emerging sport that is vying to become an Olympic sport in 2028 in LA. And AJ is spearheading that effort and also spearheading the effort to create awareness of the sport around the U.S. It's a pretty cool sport from what I've seen, and essentially soccer ping pong, and we'll get into more detail as we talk, but here is my talk with AJ Nwosu. Thanks, AJ, for being on. I appreciate it. I'm excited to chat. Seems like you have a pretty interesting background, and we'll get into, you know, what you do now. But first of all, can you just quickly introduce yourself and your current role and what it entails?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. AJ Nwosu. I am CEO of Techball USA. Essentially, my role as the leadership and incumbent of Techball here in the States is to gravitate the sport towards the Olympic podium, I should say, and so grow the sport from a grassroots level and embed it in the culture of the U.S. Society as the sport continues to grow.
No, that's awesome. So CEO of Techball USA, I'm sure that entails a lot. So let's, before we get into like the details of Techball and everything, which I've looked up videos and things like that, it seems pretty cool. I mean, nothing super high level, but I've, you know, played soccer and, you know, just recreationally and in high school and a little bit in college. And so it's definitely something that interests me. So it seems like a pretty cool sport, but let's go back a little bit to your early career. So it's, you actually played soccer in England for a bit, and then you have extensive experience working in, you know, sports-related roles. How did you kind of get into the sports world and this type of career path?
Yeah, sure. Definitely, it's something that over the course of time, it's innately in my DNA. Played soccer professionally in England for a year, and then subsequently was released by the professional club called Bristol Rovers, who I played for.
Okay.
And in turn, decided that I would pursue more of an educational route. I had a few offers after I was released, and a few schools here in the States. University of Nebraska offered me a scholarship, and I was 19 at the time, looking at Nebraska on a map, and I was like, I'm definitely not going there. Yeah. So I had a couple of other scholarship offers and ended up going to a business school in the center of England called Coventry University, where I had a scholarship as well and played there for 3 years, got my bachelor's in business and marketing. Upon graduating, moved out to Kansas City and played out there for a couple of years as well. And then after Kansas, whilst I was there, got involved with a sports and marketing company that manufactured sporting goods and apparel.
Okay.
Overseas. We did apparel in seven different categories, baseball, lacrosse, basketball, golf, softball, all the above. Essentially grew with that company to the point where I was VP of business development for them for subsequently 7 years. And from there, basically had the opportunity via several outside investments, angel investments I'd made. I met the founder of TechBall, and from there, yeah, joined TechBall USA.
Wow, no, that's awesome. So you mentioned the investment, angel investments. Were you doing that kind of on your own on the side while you were working, or how did that work?
Yeah, I was doing that on the side whilst I was working. Kind of, I had some friends who kind of had previous success at it in the early days with the likes of Twitter, Tumblr, etc. And yeah, so sort of I got in the game pretty early and that route from that business perspective. And till today, I've had a number of successful investments there. But outside of that, a career path and a career trajectory in terms of the sports world is, like I said, innately in my DNA, and it's something that I gravitate towards. And so, yeah, from that standpoint, it's something that they go hand in hand as far as athletes and entrepreneurs, because I think there's a tangent there, that a bridge you can kind of cross over and leverage your skill sets, your competitive nature into business as well. So.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I've actually had people ask me in interviews and stuff if I've been a part of sports teams and things like that. And I think there's a lot, obviously, that is of value, you know, obviously competition, and then, you know, just work ethic and discipline, things like that. So, no, that's great. So are you from England originally?
I am, yes.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Yeah.
So, but you reside in the States now. And so what got you into TechBall? What attracted you to the sport and, you know, kind of transitioned you over to kind of what you're doing today?
Well, that's a great question, Chris. I first came across TechBall in 2018, and I was at a conference, a sports conference, in Chicago, where I lived for 9 years prior to moving to LA to run TechBall 2 years ago. And I was at this conference and kind of came across this curved table, and it captured my attention because obviously TechBall is a byproduct of soccer. And so therefore soccer players tend to gravitate towards a table and use it as almost a sports utility tool to kind of practice and hone their skills. So therefore tried it out there at the conference and really, really liked it. And it's an addictive sport in itself. And, yeah, so from there, after that, didn't think too much of it. And then, basically through serendipity and 6 degrees of separation, met the founders of TechBall. And, after literally, a 30-minute conversation, they said, "Hey, would love for you to be involved and kind of drive the ship towards our kind of grandiose goal, which is to be an Olympic sport." So.
Wow. So it started over in Europe, correct?
It did. Yeah. The sport itself was born in Budapest, Hungary, by three Hungarian gentlemen who were playing on a regular ping pong table, playing soccer on a regular ping pong table. And one of the guys, being an engineer, suddenly had a thought process and said, "Okay, what if I curved the table?" And simply discovered that with a table curved, it would change the trajectory of how the ball bounced.
Right.
Therefore, making for a more unpredictable and a more fun element of the game. And so TechBall was born.
Well, so yeah, for listeners out there, it's essentially a curved ping pong looking table. And it's just a volley back and forth, two teams on each side. And one on each side, and you're volleying the ball back and forth and soccer style, you know, no hands or anything. So
absolutely. The frame of reference we often use is just soccer ping pong. It's
soccer ping pong. Yeah. That's an easier way to put it.
What's really awesome about Tech Boys, obviously we've taken it from a garage game to a global sport right now. And whether you are an athlete, not an athlete, you can still play the sport to some degree. And on the actual table, you can play 5 different sports, which most people don't know about. Tech Ball is the one that got us to the world stage, and it's the one sport we are lobbying to be an Olympic sport. But on the table, you can play what we call Tech Volley, which is volleyball in a confined space. You can play what we call Tech Pong, which is basically ping pong on a curved table. And you can play what we call techis, which is tennis in a confined space as well, and a game called catch, which is part of the tech ball family. It's really powerful. From whatever background you come from, you can always obviously participate in different ways. So
right, and it seems like obviously it's a more appeal to the masses kind of thing, and that, you know, you don't need to go to a field, or, you know, you can kind of have it in a, like you said, a confined space. So that's super interesting. So how do you, you've brought it to the global stage, you're lobbying to have it be an Olympic sport for 2028 LA. How do you create awareness, and especially maybe in the US market when it started, you know, overseas? How do you go about strategizing your, campaign to create awareness and have more adoption?
Yeah, absolutely. When you look at awareness, I look at it from 3 different triangles in tapestry. For us, the main focus has been grassroots awareness. The reality is people have to try the table. It's one thing seeing it on social media, and typically when you see it on social, which is what we've used to compound our reach globally, a lot of people are captivated by it. But when you go out and you actually try it at a grassroots perspective, that's how we kind of create our awareness. So we set up in places like Santa Monica, Venice Beach, in LA, key locations with high foot traffic. And on a daily basis, and literally we're there 6 days a week, and people come by and they try the sport, and they'll pull out their phones. That's the first thing they do. And typically that's how it's organic awareness is what we usually create, or they'll try it. And if they try it, word of mouth is forever going to be the biggest form of advertising. So,
right.
Essentially they'll tell their friends about it. They'll Instagram about it, post about it on social. And then the other side of how we do that is not only through social media, but also through activations that we currently do. So we'll kind of do value in kind partnerships with the likes of local schools, boys and girls clubs, where we donate tech ball tables.
Cool.
And have kids try it, because the kids of this generation are going to be the Olympians when tech ball is finally an Olympic sport. And so
right.
That's really important that they are grandfathered in as far as trying the sport early and learning about it. So we run an after school program in partnership with the city of LA and the mayor's office for the LA 2028 fund geared towards the Olympics. And essentially we do a 2-hour program whereby we introduce tech ball to various different athletes, kids, adults. And we've also donated tech ball tables with the US Soccer Foundation in partnership with them on a national level, where we are donating 200 tech ball tables in 24 months to be permanently installed in key locations in key cities across the US. So from that approach, when you talk about awareness, a lot of it is organic, and I'm a huge believer personally and collectively that organic sort of traction and people trying the sport is really where the bedrock and the cornerstone of us moving and taking that quantum leap to become an Olympic sport is going to come from. So.
Wow, no, that's cool. And it's interesting in this day and age how, and it's a mix, as you said, but with all the technology and social media out there, sometimes the best way is still good old fashioned word of mouth, and, you know, just got to get your hands on it. And that's interesting. So have you seen pretty, increased adoption here in the U.S.?
We have. We certainly have. And we have, when you talk about our strategy, If I aggregate your first question, it's more so we have a three-tier approach, which is the grassroots, which I just talked about. And then we have our collegiate approach. If you look at the history of Olympic sports, no sport has ever made it to the Olympics without passing through the collegiate scene.
Interesting.
So what we've done there is created a university program, which is basically a VIP program where we identify the top 60 universities across the country. And we've these are your Stanfords, Harvards, and UCLAs of the world, and your Ivy League schools. And basically, we've contacted these schools and donated a tech ball table to them, to their intramural department, and also to their men's and women's soccer teams, for them to kind of start using a table. Obviously, there's NCAA rules. So it's as far as them posting and Instagramming, we have to be mindful there. But overall, for them to kind of embed it in the university campus culture. And we've activated these tables and will be in turn as we see these tables across these VIP schools, which then creates a demand with the Division II, Division III schools as far as that marketing approach. So that's sort of our second tier approach there. And then we have our professional approach whereby, and by professional, I mean the MLS, the Major League Soccer teams here in the US, where we have 17 MLS clubs out of 28 right now that have tech ball tables.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at their training grounds and use it on a regular basis. So,
wow, that's neat. Yeah, I wish there was one at my school when I was in college. That would have been neat. So, no, that seems like a good kind of three-pronged approach. So I mean, this is more of a, I guess, a general question for you, but you know, as you go about, you have all these goals and you have these different strategies. I mean, how do you go about managing your day to day, week to week, and month to month, and manage your time overall?
Yeah, overall, I think when it comes to organizing, as you can tell, I'm obviously with everything we have going on nationally, very busy. And from an organization standpoint, it really comes down to systems and processes. Huge believer of that. And I think when it comes down to that, systems and processes, it's really the hierarchy of any organization and the systems and processes you put in place to help manage your day rather than just a day-to-day scheduling. And what I mean by that is, okay, direct reports to you and how that filters through. And also it's a decentralization of giving people the full autonomy to make decisions for themselves. Right. I'm a huge believer in speed. Yeah. It's better to be wrong than to be slow, because the reality is you get the A/B testing and the results you need by being wrong. And then you can iterate and collect academia over the course of time.
Yeah.
So that's a huge cadence as far as the way I structure my weekday and allows us to kind of move forward as quickly as possible.
No, that's good. I think that speed comment, it is interesting. I think there's like the phrase, you know, paralysis by analysis, and you end up doing nothing because you want it to be perfect, you know. So but nothing's perfect, and we all have our weaknesses, so might as well, you know, fail fast.
Absolutely. Perfection is the enemy of speed.
Yeah. No, definitely. So as you go and you have this end game goal of LA 2028, I mean, what is next as far as, obviously, I'm sure, you know, part of it is, you know, the sales and, you know, more business side of it. I mean, what's next for Tech Ball now and then in between now and then?
Yeah, for us, what's next is obviously Tokyo Games are taking place right now, and our application for obviously the International Olympic Committee and to be an Olympic sport will go in immediately after Tokyo. And then we should hear back by the end of this year as far as what the answer is. Very obviously fulfilled as far as very strongly feel very good about us being indoctrinated into the IOC family. Overall, we were just indoctrinated as a medal sport for the 2023 European Games by the EOC, the European Olympic Committee. So from that standpoint, that's I feel good about our
step in the right direction. Yeah.
Yeah. Certainly. And so for us, it's just to keep doing what we're doing. I think over the course of time, the results, we're already seeing results, but we'll see that will continue to kind of compound. And the substantial wins we've had today is how do we accelerate those? And as I mentioned speed previously, I think for us, it's more so growth within our organization. You need people to scale. And so what we're doing at the beta we've done in LA, it's scaling that on a national level to the point where I'm currently in New York right now, where we're running events and activations and tournaments, and then taking those events and moving to different cities across all 50 states. That's kind of what's next for us. We've run 26 events so far this year in 2021. And our goal is to run 50 events across 50 states.
Cool. Cool. Awesome. So on the business side of it, like, are there dealers for, like, you know, retailers for these tables, or is it all, you know, direct sale, or how does that aspect work?
That's a great question. So what we've done, and part of our strategy is we have the top six retailers in the US, sports retailers, I should say, who all carry our tech pool tables and sell those online. The soccer.coms of the world, which is probably the largest soccer retailer in here in the US. And then underneath that, what we've done is created what we call club development program. And that creates a demand for more tables from an organic level. The club development program is essentially where we've have a team, a sports development team that essentially calls on your local indoor facilities, your local gyms, your Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCAs, Parks and Recreations, all the above, and promotes a tech ball table as obviously a new sport, but you can get the table at a nominal fee. 50% off, and then any additional tables at a discounted rate as well. So that's always helped. So once we see that first table and they play it, they have to try the sport first. It creates a demand and they build a community around that that first table. Therefore, then either they can purchase additional tables from us or from a retailer. Either way. So there's usually a retailer divided up between the top six, each part of the country and via regions. And so they can buy from their nearest retailer, additional tech ball table at a discounted rate. And the key there is just creating community, because obviously at the back end of coming out of this global pandemic, community is a huge word that we've sort of emphasized, and I've emphasized to my team, just as we continue to build tech ball here nationally across the states.
No, that's cool. It's, I mean, that's half the reason I enjoyed playing sports, just, you know, the camaraderie and the friendships you build and, you know, the lessons you learn. So no, that's definitely neat. Absolutely. So it seems like you're, you know, skilled and you know how to network and kind of create, you know, relationships with different organizations or just industry to industry. I mean, what advice would you give to others who are, you know, maybe they're just a sales rep or maybe they're starting their own business or whatever, but in how to network in a way that, you know, is mutually beneficial for both parties?
The biggest advice I would say is be open-minded and talk to people. Some people are introverts, some people are extroverts, but the reality is I think people are the ROI of life, right? And what I mean by that is your relationships are your relationships. And anyone you meet can open a different door for you in terms of connecting you to the right person if they're not the right person. And then outside of that, I think the biggest thing as well, one of the key advices that I would give is just to be a lot more perspective, like look at things from a different perspective or a different lens. Because innately, if you're one dimensional, very linear, you can sometimes cast away opportunities and not be open-minded. I think if you adopt that method of thinking, you look at things from a different lens. And so that would be my key advice there.
I think it's interesting how it's how you get so tunnel vision in your own industry sometimes. And I've heard, just I think, back in business school, like they gave examples of, a computer company that wants to get into consumer sales, hiring someone from like, more of a food retailer or something, not because they knew about computers, but because they gave a fresh perspective about how to go to market and sell to a, consumer that's just buying lower budget items. So yeah, I think it's really interesting to see how you can kind of collaborate with other people from different industries. 'Cause sometimes once you're in, once you're in your little bubble, it's hard to think
Absolutely.
differently. So, well, no, that's
Absolutely.
definitely interesting. So, as we wrap up, I mean, one, I think it's tech ball is a super fascinating sport, and I, wish you guys luck at the Olympic bid. But before we wrap up completely, I wanted to ask, what is your last piece of parting career advice that you would give to someone today that's either maybe starting out, maybe they're a student, maybe they're getting out of college, or even mid-career where they're kind of, plateaued and, don't know what's next. What would you say to someone like that?
My advice would be 90% of things you worry about don't matter. If you think back to high school, college, and just a lot of the things you worry about now and worried about then, I should say, and then you think about now, you're like, well, why did I worry about that? So that would be my huge advice. I think a lot of the times we're so wrapped up in emotions and thought processes of the outcomes of how things should look and how they should be. And I think instead of that, just kind of go in with have a plan, stick to the plan, and have a good work ethic, stick to it. But at the same time, I think that will set you free. I mean, you can't go broke on work ethic. No one complains about work ethic. So that's kind of the big thing there. And I would say don't worry about the little things. That would be my advice.
Yeah, don't let it get you down. Definitely. So, where can people find out more about Tech Ball?
Yeah, certainly. So you can follow us on social media. That seems to be the obviously the zeitgeist of the next frontier for us as we move forward. We've reached 1 billion people via social media, and large professionals, the likes of Messi, Neymar, and Justin Rose of the world who play tech ball. So you can find us there at Tech Ball. On Instagram or any social media channels. You can also find us online via just techball.com as well. And yeah, I would say those are probably two mass places. And then outside of that, you can certainly, if you go on any of those pages, we have listed our future events, tournaments, and where we are going to be, or just shoot us a message on any of those pages. And we usually get back to you. Our social media team are very proactive, and they'll get back to you as far as, okay, where you can kind of attend your next tech ball session. My goal within the next sort of, I would say, 24 months is to have a tech ball table no more than at least 25 miles from each individual or city or person. That's my long-term goal. So where they can go and play.
Wow, no, that's exciting. I think Messi and Neymar are probably good names to have on the list of supporters. So,
Sure, for sure.
yeah,
Absolutely.
that's great. That's great. Well, AJ, I appreciate it. I think you've given us a lot of wise words, and I appreciate your time. And yeah, I'll definitely, keep my eye on it as you guys progress. And thanks for being on the show.
Awesome. I appreciate you, Chris. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Appreciate it.
AJ. Hey again, everyone, and thanks for listening today to my talk with AJ Nwosu. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did, and I think we can all glean lessons from his career and his background and also what he's doing with Tech Ball today. So yeah, go check out Tech Ball, techball.com, just like AJ said. I hope to play it someday as well, as I do definitely enjoy the sport of soccer, so it looks like a lot of fun. But anyway, you can check out our podcast at careeryak.com, And you can also join our email list there to stay up to date on the podcast. I'll put some links to TechBall in the show notes. And I'll leave you with the verse of the day, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time. Hey everyone, one way you can support the show is by checking out our new affiliate partner, Lone Birch Company, based out of New Hampshire, where I am as well. Their owner and founder, Jarek, actually did an interview with me. His episode may or may not be out, depending on when you're listening to this, but go check them out and use the coupon code CAREER for 10% off. They make wood, handmade wood products for your desk or office setting. So check them out. Super high quality stuff, and it'll help Jarek's business and the show. Thanks.